Hallelujah. Thank you, music ministry. Hallelujah. Please prepare for the evening offering. Hallelujah. There was a sister that wrote me a note concerning a vision she wanted to share. If she'll come up at this time, we'll take that first. And while she's coming, I want to say that, you know, God has got a lot of patience. He has got a lot of patience. He's waited a long time to be able to have His sons and daughters come to a place where they'll open their hearts to Him and begin to trust Him in their life. Now, God has found sons and daughters over the ages of history who would come to Him. There have been those who have gone on the face before God and they wept before the Lord. And God came down and He met each one of them in their generation. And God blessed them and they had mighty revivals. They experienced the presence of God. And they knew Him. And they walked with Him. But He only could carry them so far. They only could go so far where they were. There were many who really cried out and prayed to God back in pre-Reformation days even. And they called out, but where they were in the Catholic Church, with the knowledge that was there in their day, with the situation in God's calendar, there was only so much He could do. And He brought them to a certain place, and they experienced His love and His power, but that they didn't go on any further. And there came times down through revival days in this country. They called upon God, they prayed, they sought God, and where they were in their early legalism, and where they were in their position and their theology at that day, and in the revelation that God had given them, He brought them to a good place, and they had good experiences in God, and to them it was very wonderful. But they only went so far, He couldn't take them any further. They didn't open up into all that God wanted for them. They did not really come and see in the Scriptures truths that God wanted them to see. He only could take them so far. And we move on up to the days of the holiness movement where they prayed. They did a lot of praying in the holiness movement. And they loved God. They worshiped. There was a new spontaneity in praise and love. And they had many revivals, many Bush Arbor revivals. People would come and bring their wagons from afar. And they would spend 2-3 weeks together. And they would be sleeping out under the stars and under the Bush Arbors. And they had good times before God. But because of the lack of understanding of some things in the Scriptures, and the revelations had not yet been brought them, and also in their own hearts, they were only open to so much, and you only could take them so far. And then God began to move again in wonderful ways, and the Pentecost brought back into this nation, and there was a great deal of prayer in early Pentecost, and praising God, and exercising of the gifts, and loving Him. But again, they only went so far with it. They only went so far, and they could not see beyond that. They were so excited with what they got and what they were exercising with the current revelation that they stopped right there, and it became rather dogmatic with what they had, and they became satisfied with what they had, and they began to lose begin to lose the Spirit of the Lord who wanted to take them further. Now, God always wanted to take His people further than they went. He always did. They always stopped short of what God wanted. They were always satisfied too soon. They were always spiritually myopic. They were only looking at the short-range thing and what they had and where they had been. They couldn't seem to perceive and look out. And in each revival, there was a man of God that had a vision greater than the people. And he could see beyond the things that God wanted to do. I mean, see things that God wanted to do. But most of the people did not have that vision. They had not waited upon God and learned those things. They thought it was a little bit far out for them, and they kind of hung back. And finally, that's all God could do through Him. And that's all the revelation God could give those men who were seeking Him, because the people wouldn't go any further. And to give them more revelation just made them somewhat of a fanatic in the eyes of the people. So God only could give them so much because the people were not ready. And as people begin to cool off, as they had received what they had, and they were excited at first, but then the new toy became an old toy, and pretty soon, and they got their eyes upon how they could use God, and got their eyes on manifestations and other things. The Spirit of the Lord was grieved. He had to lift. But first they praised him, and after a while they began to use it for their own glory. God had to back off. And about every generation, God gave a new opportunity to the ones who came up through another generation who hadn't had the experience. God moved again in that generation. And there were always some from the last revivals that held steady, that stayed up in God and kept believing and kept praying that God would do a new work again and God would send a new revival. And they were there to head the next revival starting. And those people were excited with what God was doing. The new ones were excited. There was a freshness. And those who had camped back there never came into it. They stayed and they built big flags around and big walls around wherever they camped. God, there was a fresh move of God, but they only could go so far, it seemed like. And I just want to say, the hour is late. God wants to take his people clear to the end of the plan of God. He does not want us to go so far in camp. He does not want to have four or five splits in this assembly over a period over the next decade, and where each one would go so far and stop, and others would go so far and stop, and every time there's a new move of God, there'd be another split. He doesn't want that. It may happen, but that isn't really what he wants. And there's a very great danger. See, God comes down with his love, and he comes down to glorify himself and to magnify himself. But what does man do? Man is so selfish. He's so self-oriented. He is so terribly immature. He wants to take everything and he just wants to make it a whoop and a holler and a dance. He just wants to take it and have fun with it. He just wants to use it. He wants to corral it and make money with it. Or he wants to use it for his own glory. He wants to become great with it. He wants to be excited with it. He gets a little bit and he wants to quit. He begins to get many people. God begins to move upon them. And as soon as they do, they quit because they're so excited. They're so excited. They hardly know what to do with it. 15 minutes, and they quit. Instead of letting it go on for hours and let it deepen and deepen and broaden, it's so much more than they ever had. They're so excited with a little bit. They're so satisfied with the 15 minutes that they've gotten in God, they quit right there. Instead of going on and let it deepen and deepen and deepen. We are living at a time right now in this neo-Pentecostal charismatic movement in which the biggest bulk of Christians are immature and inexperienced. The biggest bulk have not come from the old Pentecostal denominations and the old holiness movements. They have come from hippieism and Catholicism and Lutheranism and agnosticism, and they don't know where they are. They don't know much about God. There's a freshness about the movement. That's good. There's an excitement. There's a baby faith. That's good. But they don't have roots. They don't have depth. They're not really anchored. They have not prepared themselves for storms to come. They haven't prepared themselves for onslaughts. They have not had a conviction. They haven't really dug in. They haven't sent the roots down deep. They want a great big flourishing tree without paying the price. They have lived in a generation to get things easily and quickly. They want to start with wall-to-wall carpets. We started out, we didn't have wall-to-wall floors. You know, people want them, they want so much, so fast. And they want it so easily. They want to get it without going to the cross. They want to find success by a method. They want to read a book or have a seminar. Instead of getting on their knees before God and learning who God really is and developing a relationship. They want to come and have people pray for them and deliver them. They want to have people lay hands on them and heal them. They want instant cures. Not realizing that God wants to cause people to be driven to the knees, to search him out and to know him and find him in depth. They're like the man down on the street who is working for handouts. Hey, buddy, you got 50 cents? All he wants is just enough to carry him for a couple of hours. Just enough to carry him for a couple of hours. Can I get just enough of the move of God to carry me for a week or two? Just enough to get over the anxieties and the fears and these things that are plaguing me. Just get the weight of sin off of me. Get the confusion out of my mind. Then I'll be satisfied. And then they won't go. The Lord, the positive strength of God and get to know him as a friend and be able to walk with him and have him whisper in your ear. Or they want to take these ethereal trips. They want to rock it out real quick and, have these spiritual trips, so to speak, where they get out and find God and have a wonderful spiritual trip. But as far as really coming to a place where they are a friend of God, who walks with God, who knows him, who's proven him in the furnace and through the tests and in the wilderness, in the valleys, as well as on the mountaintops, and have had experiences, have tasted of the things to come, and have experienced from God revelation. I don't mean a little quick thing. I mean revelation in depth until they understand and they know. They know God. They know what he's like. They know what he would do. They know what he would say. They understand God's word. They understand the principles. They are there. They have their feet settled. They want something quick. And I want to admonish you. I'm not preaching tonight. I'll take this time right here. We have got to have depth. We have got to have depth. We want to go out and preach to others and pastor others, but we've got to have depth. We want to run out with a bunch of notebooks and a bunch of things we can, you know, preach at them. When we haven't got there, we don't really know him solidly. We ourselves, we are scared when the devil goes boo. We have got to learn who we are and who he is and get this matter settled and look who men are, and not have go out with a carnality and full of hang-ups and fears. We need to come to a place where Jesus, where God is all in all. Where God is all in all. Where we no longer try to manipulate him, crowd him, use him, but we surrender to him in a very real way. And we make permanent declarations. We make decisions that will last. We have convictions. When we trade our citizenship, we count the cost, we see what it means, we turn our back on everything that is meant to us in the world, and we set our face to the kingdom. We work diligently with a vision for a new thing. There are too many people trying this and trying that, like the stock market, you know. And every time Cuba rattles a few missiles, why, the stock market falls. And every time, you know, they strike some oil, raises up. And every time that maybe summit meetings fall through, it plunges down. I mean, you can see the fear and the fickleness and the immaturity of the nation by just watching the stock market. It's all over the map for no good reason. I mean, industries are there, and manpower is there, and it just goes like this. Now, I know there are manipulators of stock markets, but that's only because people are manipulative. And you can see it in the nation when they go to vote for a president. Here is this man who claims this, and there's this man who claims this, and I'm for this man. And he'll say one thing, and now we got doubts. I don't know now. We think maybe we're for this man. And then he'll come on and he'll say this little thing. Oh, well, okay. Now we're back on Hereford. Now 68%, and now, see, and they're so fickle. And how is he doing? And it varies from week to week, little program to program. They are making decisions on the most shallow things. They have not really got understanding and depth and commitment and convictions, where they understand what's behind things and they set themselves. They're wavering back and forth. And the nation itself has no permanent policy. It wavers this way, and then it jumps that way, and then they come back into this way again, and then they go that way, and they don't know themselves. I mean, you know, no capital punishment is not failing. Well, they killed a president. We should have capital punishment. And this is unusual punishment. Well, how about an airline? And see, they're back and forth. They don't seem to know what they're doing on anything. It's a symptom of the age. We need to come to a place where we get really serious. And recognize there isn't a lot of time left, and God's got a plan. He wants to do something. He's trying to do something. His spirit is not sent just to get demons off your back. You let them in, or you're going to let them in again if we continue. He has got to be sovereign. He has got to be lifted up. He's got to have a people that will lift him up and carry his banner. that will quit showing their own selves, but will show God. We'll not go out and compromise and feel man and try to get ahead and better not say that because I won't get ahead and try to work God's program for him. You don't have to work God's program. God's big enough to work his own program. All you have to do is be honest and have integrity and do what God says to do and let him bless it. Let him do the blessing of it. Instead of it, bless yourself and call up people to bless you and get people together to bless you and advertisements to bless you. It's a letting God bless. We've got to mature, to grow up from babies to young men to fathers. He's calling us to be fathers with him. He's calling us to go out and be able to father the babies out there. And we can't father the babies if we're not fathers ourselves. You know, every young man's got a theory about raising children. And when he gets them, he finds out the children haven't read the book. And his theories don't pan out. He got all these theories about what it's going to be like in his marriage and his children, all he's going to do, and I'm going to do this and this. He's not going to do any such thing. You know why they're all wrong? Because they don't come to grips with who they are. With who they are. And they haven't looked to God to take care of the matter. They look till their self-sufficiency and their determinations, which fail you in the hour of need. And they're not the indicators at all. We need to have indicators that are permanent things. We need to see the milestones that are things that lead to the kingdom that are permanent. We need to make commitments that are deep, that are solid, that will last forever. When we begin to coming into the relationships we're coming into now, we're going to move into the Spirit, we cannot have people trying to compete with one another, vie with one another for holiness and revelation and who gets to pray for the person and crowd the other person out so they get to pray. The carnality, that elbowing to get through the door must stop. Now, I'm not saying that we have a lot of carnal elbowing. I think this church is doing marvelously, but in light of what God wants, we've got a long ways to travel. And we need to really come to seriousness. Too many people are all operating without thinking. They just go day by day without thinking. They're not really thinking deep. They're not taking a hold of things and saying, now the pastor's made a point of this, and I'm going to write this down, and I'm going to re-listen to that tape, and I'm going to write this down, and I'm going to start applying that to my life, and I'm going to make that for me. I'm going to grow up. There's too much listen, let it go. It's like a TV program. Good program. And that's the end of the program, and it never has any effect on your life. I think it's one of the many damaging things about TV is people have learned to watch it and then forget it instead of go with it and take it and do something about it. And I'm asking, I'm beseeching you, brethren, let's enter into a depth and begin to open up to a vision where we are not going to stop until God takes us all the way home. And it means we open up to new truths, new experiences in God, and not just excitability, but things that we're willing to pay the price with and to carry no matter what others about us may say or do or think. We will carry this with our head held high, and we will not have to look down and be ashamed and all this, but we will know we'll stand for it, and we'll begin to preach it, and we'll begin to set aside till we are not satisfied until we have a very intimate relationship with Jesus Christ and have the power of God in our life, or anointed, walk under an unction of the Holy Ghost. Learn how to appropriate. Walk just appropriating. Set yourself, it's all in you, Lord, until you are practicing every day receiving of the Lord. Practicing faith. Practicing taking whatever you know God wants and begin to take that thing and claim it in the name of the Lord. Not foolish things, but take things and claim it. Will not hear anything else, won't listen to demons, won't listen to emotions, won't listen to feelings, won't listen to circumstances,
and begin to move towards God in faith, open up to minister to others, be willing to take things without rising up to protect ourselves. We've got to quit protecting ourselves so much. We've got to lay our lives down and walk as Jesus walked. We've got to see the pattern, son. And we've got to put our foot right in the footpath, right in the footsteps where he walked. Until after you look across the sand of time and see where Jesus walked, that you only see one set of footprints. We've all stepped right in his. Don't crisscross them in all different directions. But we walk where he walked and walked how he walked. See how he did. To speak that which the Father gives us. So we learn to try the still spirits. We learn to separate and judge what comes into our mind, what's of God and what isn't, what will be a blessing to others and what will not be a blessing, until there's no longer the carnality, until we're no longer have an open pipeline from the pit down there. We let it come up and channel through our mouths, but we learn to keep our spirit in the face of difficulty, keep our composure, get rid of these spirits of insecurity and rejection, and begin to stand and say, Lord, it doesn't make any difference. It doesn't make any difference. I'm a love slave to you. I'm in love with you. And if I'm your Shulamite, I don't have to try to run a popularity contest with Jerusalem. I only have to win a popularity contest with you. And therefore, if I am yours and you're pleased with me, I'm satisfied. And I'm not going to worry about what others think. I'm not going to try to be good in their eyes. I'm only going to try to be right in your eyes. And if I'm right in your eyes, that's all I really care for. We've got to get our priorities settled, get things straightened out in our mind. One more thing. There are some people who have taken a little bit of a defensive position. Not many, perhaps, but maybe more than I know. And some other church, some of them, well, bless God, this is our territory. That church, God can do that. Well, we don't want God to do some great, wonderful thing through that church, get ahead of us. You know, this happens across the nation. Lots of churches, I've heard this over and over again, pastors getting themselves in a position where we're here in the city first, we don't need any more churches like this. How did you feel when you came in? This is my territory. What do you mean your territory? We're like the birds and the squirrels. We think we, whatever tree we're in, that anything around it, it's our territory. They're all God's sheep. We have no territory. We have no limits. Far or wide, they can have 15 Pentecostal churches come in and one on every single block, and it would be none of my business to go to them and say, hey, what are you doing here? We're trying to see how many souls we can get for the kingdom. We're trying to fight against Satan. The more God uses other churches, the higher he takes them, the more they're moving in deliverance ministries. They get way ahead of us. Wonderful. We're trying to get people saved into the kingdom. And the more, the better shape they're in, the better it is for us. It's going to make it easy for us to connect someday. If they're with God doing in them what he's doing here, they're going to be one with us. We're going to have less fighting. We'll be able to move in. They'll be right there. And we'll be able to move together and learn of one another. We've not come just because God has called us to do a certain pioneer work in a certain area, and because God has called us to teach and help others, does not mean that we are not open to be teachable also. It does not mean that we're the only ones called to be in the pioneer ministry in the work. It does not mean that we should try to stay above others. We should bring them up to where we are. Bring them up as high as we can get them. We don't have to stay, pioneer doesn't have to stay ahead all the time. We're not trying to get ahead of other people. We're not racing with people. We're racing against time. And we're trying to move for kingdom. We've got to get everything straightened in our minds, with our ministries, our lives, so Jesus can really do in us what he really wants to do. I'm going to say just one more thing. You see, there are people who are saying, well, I want him to pray for me. They're looking for this person for deliverance. And you know, it's one way to keep them getting delivered is to get your sight upon the individual. Same way for healing. Like, I don't want to be prayed. I want to be prayed for that person. I want that person. That isn't the person who's healing. Everybody's got the checkbook, and the name's the same on the checkbook, and it's deposited in the same bank who honors it. And we are making a mistake to begin to look to man. And the person says, I don't know what's the matter, but if I can just get to you, if I just get to the pastor, then I'll get healed. Then I will get. No, my friend, do not look to man. The Lord does not like that. He's saying, you know, you're getting close. You're beginning moving, but now all of a sudden you got your eyes off on man instead of on me. We have got to look to Jesus. And we must be careful. We don't say, well, I don't know. You know, this intercessor is not so effective, and I don't really want it, so forth, and I want this and so forth. You know, it's so easy to begin to blame the intercessor for what you're not getting instead of yourself. The biggest consideration is yourself. Now, it is true that some people have moved in, they have prayed, they know how to pray more than others. They really get in and lay hold of, you know, the horns of the altar, and they are more effective. That is really true. But it's easy to slip over into the next realm. For then if you do not receive, because you know better than to blame God, you blame those about you and say, well, they aren't effective. When really the problem lays down in here, man always thinks he's ready before he's ready. Man always thinks he's in a better place before God than he is, and he's more ready. When you ever try to receive anything from God, man always thinks that he's more ready than he is. From God's standard, he isn't near as ready as he thinks he is. He doesn't know his own heart. He just has a little bit of hunger and excitement, and he thinks he's already there. And one more thing. Be careful that you don't begin to look to yourself. And begin to, and if it makes a difference to you, who gets the glory for who prayed for whom, you have a problem. If I've got to let people know that was me who did it, not Fred, you got a problem. When you begin, we've got to get rid of that thing. Well, people have got to know it was me that I got the song. I didn't get out of a book. I got it from the Lord. It was me that got it. You see, we are still subtly, oftentimes, seeking the glory. It's okay the Lord have the glory as long as we get glory. We've got to come to a place it doesn't make any difference to us. Who prays? Who does what? Who says what? Who wrote the song? How they got it? Or anything but that Jesus get all the glory. Although I'm thrilled at what God is doing at this hour in this place, my heart feels kind of heavy tonight because I just feel by the Spirit so much there has got to be a total sellout. A total sellout. And I don't know anymore how to express it to you. I don't know how to get it through to people's minds and hearts, and I know you just can't unscrew your head and dump in wisdom and understanding. And I think it's going to take us to go on our face before God. And you know, this next week or two before camp meeting, I would like to call people to pay a price and go on the knees before God. Get really serious. I don't think all of our time should be, Lord, I just want to get rid of some problems that are on me. But we need to be praying, Lord, I want to be what you want me to be. I have got to come to a place of total sellout. I have got to come to a place where I'm broken before the Lord. I've got to be to a place where God is pleased with me. Too many Christians have got this light standard. They've got this light little easy standard, this easy, cheap grace standard that, you know, as long as they just come to church and they're in the group down here and they're excited and they're praying a little bit and get some deliverances that they're in a good place before God, and they don't have any idea of what God is really calling them to.
And we need to go on our faces before God and allow God to really plow us up, really show us our heart, really change us. We've got to begin moving in a relationship with Him in which we say, Lord, the hour is late and your work must be done. And I come, O God, to deny myself. I come, O God, to put myself in a place I have never been in all my life. I've come to trust you for things I've never trusted you in. I've come to change the pattern of my life, to let you change it in me. I no longer want to walk with my carnality and the inner relations like I am and all the worldliness and this lightness. I have got to somehow come to a place where you are everything and I'm sold out. I don't have this little light, you know, love for manifestations and love for the thrill and love for, and you know, that the demons are cast out and love. But, oh God, souls. Souls that are built and established on the rock and that our names are written in heaven. And that we're what you want us to be and that you're pleased with us. And that our lives are anointed of God, that He can do, that we no longer just speak from our throat, but our spirits are in tune with God. We've got to get in tune with God. And it's going to cost something. Because the church has been in the world too long. They've walked with a low standard and a cheap grace. This is a costly grace that was purchased for us. And God is requiring things, and the hour is late. Requiring much more than most people think. He wants everything. He wants everything you are and have and will be. Until you count not your own life dear, nor your money, nor your time. I mean, until we are in tune with Him and we have a relationship with Him to do His will, that means spending ourselves. It means spending ourselves. And not just a getting syndrome. We've got to grow quickly. We've got to move out of the baby stage and out of feed me and give me the milk bottle stage and out of just the thrill. You know how little kids are thrilled with the teeniest little things? We've got to get to a place where all thrill comes in the fact that we walk before God in a holiness so His heart is pleased and we're thrilled that we can please His heart. And we're thrilled that souls are saved and healed and filled and brought into a relationship with God. We've got to get to a place where we begin saying, I've got to win the souls. I've got to win souls. I've got to establish them. I've got to know the Word. I've got to know the principles. I got to reach out. We can't keep these little things, husband to wife, pick, and brothers and sisters. We've got to move beyond that. We've got to lay this thing down at the altar and say, Lord, I give up my life. No longer will I contest my mate, my children, my parents, my brothers, nor my sisters. No longer will I carry on this little petty, it is, it isn't, it is, it isn't type of thing. No longer is what I can I get out of it. Now on it's how can I please you and spend myself for you, Lord, for souls. How can I give myself? How can I undergird? How can I build up? How can I encourage? How can I strengthen? How can I overcome the devil in my life? How can I help others overcome? Who can I rescue, Lord? How can I get to a place where I can stand when the storms come against us? I want to know you. I want to know your word. I want to have resurrection power, and I'm willing to be made conformable unto your sufferings to get it. I'm willing to deny myself. I'm willing to take up my cross and follow you. I'm willing to sit at your feet and be a disciple. Oh, people are so, you know, they come and they sit and they look and I say, oh God, I don't understand. It baffles my mind. It baffles my mind. I can't understand even this brother's in his testimony tonight. I mean, I appreciate what God's doing, but he said, you know, up to this test deliverance I had was in this familiar spirit. I don't understand it. I don't understand it. I know he's been here only 2 years, but 2 years is 2 years. If you've been here 1 month, I don't understand it. I don't know if anybody else has got any familiar spirits that are not of God. How can you walk another day with them? How can you walk out of this place when your heart isn't right between you and God? When your heart isn't right between you and your mate? When are you going to get things taken care of? How long will you listen to the messages? How long will you be stubborn in your hearts? How long will you be stiff-necked? How long will you resist the grace of God and the word of the Lord? How long will you hold off going to the altar and going to your brother, your sister, your wife and say, honey, let's get this right between you and me. We've got to come down on our knees and pray, and we've got to surrender all of our pride and our selfishness and our accusations and our hurts and our wounds. We've got to weep. We've got to be broken vessels. We can't play around. I feel God's Spirit, and I feel a spiritual hurt. I feel like when God spoke to Israel and said, the ox knows his maker, knows his owner, and the ass knows his crib, but my people do not know. They do not consider. Their thinking is so shallow. Their commitments are so shallow. What they want from God is so shallow. Their vision is so shallow. Their willingness to surrender is so shallow. Their giving is so shallow. And I say, Lord, Lord, what more can be said? What can we do, Lord? Somehow moved by your Spirit. No, you know, I am really thrilled at what's happening. I talked to a brother the other day, just today, I guess it was, and I about deliverances, and I said, you know, somehow, I said, I just feel like some of these people are, it was landing, I said, some of these people, you know, some people, they just want to come, they just want everything, they won't really plow up the ground and get, you're talking about some of these cases, they come and not getting anything. I said, I'm afraid that they're not coming and say, oh God, oh God, oh God, and begin to really move. They don't have any will. They're walking without a will. Instead of coming and begin to exercise will, they haven't got any will. They're kind of floating. I said, well, I guess they haven't got a will, they can't use it. Somehow we're going to have to come before the Lord and say, Lord, I'm scared because I don't have a will. I'm exercising. I'm afraid, oh God, because I don't care like I should care. I'm afraid because I might give up if I stay in this place of hopelessness and despair much longer. I can't live in hopelessness. You can't live out in hopelessness. You've got to have food from heaven. You've got to get free. You can't go on month after month after month being choked up, the lifeline being choked off. How long will we wait before we come on our faces and cry out unto God? Some people need fasting and praying for a week on end without stop. Some people need all day long, dead or no dead. You need to come in and say, God, I'm not going to let you go except you bless me, except you release me. I will not take no for an answer. You know, one problem that I see is very prevalent, very, very prevalent in the Christian world. We take too much from the devil without doing anything about it. We're so used to being slapped and kicked around by him that when we get slapped and kicked, we don't think anything about it. And this person's got his, oh, I got a better stomach ache. And the mate or the friend says, oh, that's too bad. And that's all they do about it. One of them is too dumb to say, I would like you, brother, to lay hands on me and cast, and I would like you to ask God to deliver me from this thing. And the other one's too dumb to say, well, then, brother, I'm going to put my hands on you now. We're so used to taking licks from the devil. We go around week after week and say, oh, boy, I just got all this problem. Well, how many people have you come up to and say, brother, lay your hands on me now. Let's get on our knees before God. I need help. Well, I was meaning to get down to deliverance one of these days, but I'm going to try it. You know, I'm painting the house right now, and say, oh, Lord, people can't think. Can't think. And I asked people, I said, now let's make commitments. From now on, when anybody has any problem, your hand goes right out to them. And everybody says, amen. But do we do it? I say, all right now, no more negative. We're going to get off each other's cases. Let the Holy Ghost be the Holy Ghost for each one. From now on, we're going to upbuild and that's it. Do we do it? I'm afraid our cross is maybe a little tiny silver one with all the fancy frills on it, but it's like the way around the neck of our imagination, rather than taking up a cross that weighs something and beginning going uphill with it. Now I know that many people are bound, and until they're unbound, I mean, they're bound. They're bound, and they're choked off, and I don't mean to put more upon God's people than they're able to handle. I know some people won't be able to do much until they get released. But we've got to want to get released. We've got to care. We must exercise our will. We must find our will and begin to move it. We must begin to move. We cannot stay here. It's all like on an ice floe. If you're crashing an airplane on an ice floe, and it's 160 miles to a station, you've got to set yourself to make the time and get there before you die, before you freeze, before you die of starvation or anything else. You can't fool around. You can't lay there because you don't feel like it. You can't be in apathy on the ice. You've got to set yourself, keep your body in motion, keep warm. You only can sleep so many hours. You've got to push, push, push. You're going to have to go on a trek to get there. I'm afraid there's too many people fooling around instead of really moving in and getting there. Now, this sounds strange to you, I suppose, to talk like this. And I've been so thrilled by what God is doing. He's delivering people by the score. We're having marvelous deliverance services. But I feel the Spirit of God is saying, this is going to go deeper, faster, more exclusive. We've got to go beyond where we are. And I'm just opening my heart out. I'm just telling you how I feel inside. I feel a grief of the Spirit. And I feel like this can't be a little bit of fun. We get my deliverance so I can share it. We have got to see this thing for what it is. This is a total all-out war. And therefore, we should have a total all-out war against the devil and accept nothing. We can't afford to let the devil put thoughts in our minds week after week. We can't afford to have wrong relations week after week. We can't afford to defend and pick in this week after week. We're at war. We can't let the enemy keep sapping our vigor. We need everyone to a man to rise up and say, Pastor, from this day forward, I make a commitment between heaven and earth. Right now, I am taking a stand, an irrevocable stand. As of this time, I am selling myself to Jesus Christ wholly. I will resist every thought that comes into my mind that is not of God. I will no longer fantasize. I will no longer let the enemy bring things into me. I operate on truth and clarity. Nothing but the word will mean anything to me from now on. I divorce myself from being a puppet of feelings. I operate according to the word of God, no matter what it costs me. The word of God will be the sole decider of every issue of my life. And I right now declare myself, reckon myself dead into sin. By the grace of God and the provisions on Calvary, I rise to full sonship. I declare war on the devil. I will not listen to anything he says. I will never use my mouth again for the devil, the Lord, giving me the grace. And if I do, I will repent with white hot tears. And I'll come to that individual and I will ask them to forgive me. And I will double the guard. And I'll set myself. And I will set myself. And I will set my face like flint. And I'm going to step forward. And I'm going to sell myself to God. I'm going to let the love of Jesus come. I'm going to declare I have rights to praise God. I'm going to declare the devil is a liar. I'm going to step out. He's not going to stop me. I'm not going to sit and sing like this. I'm not going to sing like this. I am going to say, I am going to open up. I am going to raise my diaphragm. I am going to ask my brothers about me if I can't get free. I am going to ask immediately for anybody about me that will. And I am going to, together we are going to say in the name of Jesus, where two or three are gathered in your midst, you are there. And oh Lord, I come right now and I take authority over that demon. I will not be bound. I'm afraid there's too much, you know. Some people pray for somebody else and get their hand on them, they're like this, you know. That isn't what we're talking about. We're talking about setting ourselves and saying, you evil spirit, you shall not have this course in my brother or sister any longer. I come to you, come now in the name of Jesus, and you are a defeated foe. You shall not be in this body any longer. We come against you. And the mind doesn't just say, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. But it's yes, in the name of Jesus, I divorce you, Satan. I take a stand against you. I'll never listen to you again. I set myself. We need to take stock of our lives. We need to set a sign up if necessary. We need to have a list we look at every morning if necessary. We need to pray. We need to walk in prayer before God in the day and say, Lord, I am only yours. I will fear not what man will say unto me. I won't fear whether they know I'm a Christian on the job or not. I am going to stand for Jesus. I don't care about anything any longer. I've been bound too long. I've been weak too long. I've been defeated too long. The devil's taken advantage of me too long. Now I rise. Now I rise by faith. I'm going to see what it's like to soar in God. I'm going to begin moving in the Spirit. I'm going to exercise faith and believe with God all things are possible. I will never deny the word of God again. I will never speak negative again. I will never listen to the devil again. From now on, everything is in faith in God. Faith in God. If it pleases God, I'll do it. If it pleases the devil, I will not. I set myself. I want us to get vigorous with this thing. Lest we're lukewarm and be spewed out of his mouth. The hour is coming. God is calling us to go upward. There isn't a lot of time left. He's saying we're going to have to redeem the time, the days of evil. Get on double time. Mount your horses and move. If you're worried with footmen, what will you do when the Jordan overflows and you have to run with horses? In fact, my friend, the battle is going to increase. And God's going to give increased power. For those who will move on in him are going to do exploits. But right now, God's heart is saying, children, little children, don't play with this thing. Don't hold off. And his brother said tonight, for example, another correction, just so everybody would know, I don't think you'll mind. Supernatural mind. You don't have any anti-supernatural mind. All you've got is lack of faith. Now, notice this thing is an anti-supernatural mind. See, that's the trick of the devil. We don't walk around with all these kind of minds that we have gotten through the genetic system. You know, some person has got an anti-supernatural mind. All you've got is a demon blocking faith. And we need to stand on the word of God and quit standing on our Irish or Italian ancestry or my particular kind of peculiar mind. You don't have any kind of peculiar mind. You got the mind like every other human being's got. You either will believe in God or you won't, or you'll believe in the devil or not. Let's shake ourselves from these clouds that the enemy puts in us, these wrong concepts. Move with God. I hope nobody feels browbeaten tonight. That's not my heart. I hope you feel inspired and encouraged and challenged. We've got to move on. I feel God's Spirit saying, we've got to move. We've got to move. I challenge you to do it. I don't know how much time. Which one of your children really feel stirred in your soul? Huh? Oh, they have a song. I thought we were going to have all these testimonies of deliverances. Here's what I thought. Okay. Go ahead, sister. You're next. We've run out of service time tonight. Why don't you kids come up and minister to us in song? Just kind of hold right there. I am thankful for what the Lord has brought us through. And I'm calling each one to begin to work as one team. From now on, we're all on the same side, all right? Up undergird one another and work together against the devil. three announcements I must make before we close tonight. The first is that Tuesday evening, this coming Tuesday evening, we will be having a mass deliverance meeting. And there have been many who have not had an opportunity to be prayed for individually, and we're just going to come and see what the Lord will do, coming together, taking one item at a time, starting at 7:30. We'd like to ask many of you, like to ask you to come as early as you can, come and pray. When you come, don't sit and look at the front. Pray. Pray with all the strength you got. Pray with everything you have within you. I think it might be a good idea. Some of you may want to pray alone. Others may want to pray in groups of two or threes or something like this, or just groups of twos praying together. But really do business with God. Come to the cross. Pay the price. Plow up the ground. And at 7:30, we're going to pray for various categories of problem areas. And we're going to trust God, and the deliverances you receive will be dependent upon your determination, your faith, and the Spirit of the Lord. Yes. Children will be allowed to come at the discretion of the parent. I don't think there's going to be a lot of mass manifestations. But we don't know what will happen, and you will have to make decisions concerning you and your children. We don't want children running around loose and free. We want to have them under control if they're here. You're better off, if you can, to leave them home. Secondly, we need a bus driver who will take the school children from Tacoma to Seattle. And then back again in the afternoon. It could be two different people, one in the morning bringing the bus and somebody else in the afternoon taking it back. If you live in Tacoma or the Fife area and you're willing to do this, last year one brother just moved, I understand, if my information is correct, that he lived there particularly just so he could volunteer and do this. And came here, lived there with some other people so he could drive the bus here with the children and stay here and study and then drive them home. I think that's so fantastic. You know, people paying prices to be sweet to one another and sacrificing. And I pray the Lord to reward that brother for that. He's not able this year to do that. Is there anybody here that can do something in this way, one way or another, possibly? Would you raise your hand? You might be a candidate. What time in the afternoon? Christian school, anybody know? 3 o'clock, is that right? If you go to Bible college, you could, go to Bible college and then study to 3 o'clock and then drive them back home about 3 o'clock. Any possibilities? Wave it. Wave your hand. There we go. Thank you. Now, is that one way or both ways? Beautiful. Thank you so much. Really appreciate that, Ted. Really. That's a tremendous sacrifice. It's a big project. Really appreciate it. Please see Ron Lowry Monday. Give him a call, for sure. Thank you. Last thing is, we are publishing a newspaper called Balance. And the first issue is right here. Now, this newspaper will be published as we feel the need and as though we are led of the Lord. And it will not be put out every month or every quarter or every year as it will. It'll be depending on the need and this type of thing. This is the largest and will be the largest and fanciest copy. This is an introductory copy introducing our church. And it says Revival Edition. Revival Rain is Falling, and there's pictures. This is a very nice paper. It's in a very nice paper. So it has nice paper. It's not just a newsprint. And you'll see that it has very many photographs on each page. And it deals with every aspect of the corporation, the college, the Christian school, the Sunday school, publication, the church, various ministries. See, every page got many testimonies. We've taken pains to go through Make sure that everything is said the way we want it said. You open the cheaper seats. And it's a very attractive newspaper. My only deep regret that shocked, I was shocked, mortified, humiliated, upset, everything else practically today when I learned from Chris what it costs to mail these things. That's going to cost you to mail them. I thought there'd be about 23 cents or something, but 73 cents or something like this. 71 cents, I can't believe it. And I'm not sure why, but we are providing the envelopes to put them in, and we're going to provide these free of charge for you to give out. But now I want some very strict guidelines given concerning these, because these are expensive. This is not some cheap tract that you just give out to everybody door to door, and you meet a friend, you talk to him, and because he's polite enough not to grind you down, you say, oh, he's open, he'll have a newspaper. These should be, we want them to get out, but we want them to get to people that we feel that it has, they have a potential of doing something with them. Who they should be sent for to is this. Your relatives and friends back in your hometown and so forth that have heard rumors concerning Community Chapel. This will go a long ways, this and follow-up issues will go a long, long ways to dispel those rumors. This shows that we've got people of reputation in this church that are coming here, and that professional people that don't think this is some wild and woolly things for a bunch of children of God kids that don't know what they're doing. They come and they feel it's balanced, they feel it's good. It shows organization, it shows the love of God, it shows the power of God, it shows the testimony of what God is doing, it shows balance. And it will go a long way to dispel of many rumors, particularly the ensuing issues, which I'll mention in a moment. People that you feel like might be able to help their hearts concerning the chapel, where they've got questions in their minds and so forth. Ministers and others who are in that position as well. Also those that you feel are potential Bible college students, so they're considering, they would possibly consider, they're not happy where they are as a church home, and they're free to, they may be free to want to uproot and come and be reestablished if they can find some place that God is really doing something. Somewhere where you feel like it can do something. This is not a witnessing tool in place of the gospel. This is not, nothing here says, you know, how to give your heart to Jesus Christ. This is not a witnessing tool. That is to get saved. But it is an introduction to Community Chapel, and it's an introduction to all the follow-on issues, is what it is. This will be available month in and month out for 2 or 3 years. Anytime there's somebody who has a need to receive this, you'll be able to give this to them or send this to them. If you have people that you feel like have needs to receive this, and they're good at needs, not you know, your friend in some place, but there are people of some reputation or some place that you have a reason, if you want to turn the name in to us, we'll mail it. This information will be, the details will be in the next Sunday bulletin. Now this will be out on the book counter, on the free tables out here, next weekend. We do not want you to grab a handful to take home. And it's, well, I'm not going to take a handful of these, you know, good intentions. If every one of you took 5 of these, that'd be about 10,000. And that's a lot of cost, 10,000. You paid for them. I think that this money should be used wisely. If you take one home to read yourself, I think that you should take the responsibility of giving it to the right party. Don't give it to the first person you see because it's hot. Hold it until you find the right party. If you're not going to give it, bring it back and put it back in the pile. Save every dollar. Make it stretch, make it wise, be good stewards of the Lord. I don't want people just grabbing a handful and walking out the door. I see this. Know who you're going to send them to before you take them. If you've got three names and you know you will send them and you know there are people that need it and should get it, take three. If you've got probably a couple of others, hold it until the probables become for certain, because next week they'll still be here. You don't have to take them all in the first week. Take only what you will use. Wait till you find a name to take one. Let's make them count. You give them to somebody, tell them. When you're through with it, pass it on. You mail them back home, say when you're through with it, pass it on to your friends. Let's see how far we can extend it. Let's stretch it as far as we can go with it. And when we're out of these, we'll print more. Now, the following on issues, will not have all the photos. They won't be as long for the most part. But they are going to be addressing issues in the church world, in the charismatic movement in particular, in which people need balance. And the next issue, I think, is going to deal in the area of accusations in the Christian church concerning cults. I've already got several articles written, and this is going to be an eye-opener for a lot of people. There are things in here that they have never heard. And all the talk about cults today, they have never read the arguments that I'm going to present. And I'm going to show this many different ways and show you the implications, carry the logic to this full extremity and show, and some of them are not, I'm sure their minds are not prepared for what the end is of the present day thinking. I think it'll turn a lot of people around. It'll make people a lot more careful. It'll define, what really is a cult and isn't. How do we really know? What about the different definitions? How can we settle down to know what is the dangers involved? We got articles in the Christian Legal Defense and other papers. We're showing what will happen if you take a certain stance. I think it's going to be a very balanced article that will bring people into balance, and they're going to learn some things. That will be good for people that have certain animosities and feelings and, and wonders and suspicions against the church here, and those that are apt to be, doing that syndrome against others to cause them, those at least that you feel like that are open. If they're not open, there's no sense in wasting on them. But I think some people may learn from this. We're going to be sending these to churches, ministers all around in the city and other places, so that they can begin, they've heard so much, now let them hear from us. Instead of always from somebody else. And let's begin reading these articles. I have a hunch when they read this. I think a number of these articles in this article on cults, for example, they're going to say, I never thought of that. Boy, that's right. We could be careful. I never realized. They're going to see that this thing is, they're going to have to go deeper than that deep. Follow-up articles are going to be along other subjects that are in the cosmetic world in which those misunderstandings and the people don't understand. We're going to hopefully have articles where we'll let them know what God is doing here in the church from time to time as God moves in new ways. Also articles perhaps making charts. I have in my mind like putting all together, like the Man-Child Company, the Perfect Man of Ephesians, the Manifestation of the Sons of God, the Shulamite, the Queens, the Concubines, the Virgins, the Guests, the Bride, all the various aspects, how they line up, how they relate, et cetera, et cetera, things that are informative. So I just thought you would be hopefully thrilled to know that we're on our way to do this. I feel God's leading us to begin getting some of these truths out. And this is one of the ways. So please do use them, but please use them carefully.